Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Leverett Ball Show. And on this episode, we're joined by sports broadcaster Michael Marcantonini. And, Michael has experience in a few different places. He's done a lot in the world of professional baseball, including with some MLB organizations. His last MLB opportunity was as a broadcaster in the Pittsburgh Pirates system. And actually, he's currently calling in from Australia. And Michael, from what I know, you're working with the Melbourne Aces and, part of their broadcast team. So how did that opportunity come about? We were talking before we started recording, the time zones are different. So it's the morning for me, it's late at night for you. But, like I said, you've done some stuff, with MLB organizations here in the U.S. But how did the opportunity come about for you to call baseball games in Australia?
Yeah, it was pretty cool how it happened, man. And honestly, it's really cool coming on the podcast. I appreciate you having me. So the Australian Baseball League, the league that I'm out here broadcasting in, it's something that I've been interested in since 2018 when I was broadcasting for the York Revolution in the Atlantic League independent ball. A couple guys on the team had played in the league, and a few were going out that fall to play again out in Australia. So I was like, wow, that would be pretty sweet to go out there and broadcast games. So I had, for a couple of years, I had reached out to teams out here, and the communication was never easy because of the time change. And also, not being able to call with the US number to an Australian number. But then once COVID hit, that was just impossible to travel internationally and do something like this. But earlier this year, back in late May, I saw a job posting on Teamwork Online, which is a site that I use to look at sports jobs and see what's out there. So I saw it, I applied, and I'm thinking like, all right, it's worth a shot. And I actually got an email response like 2 or 3 days later to set up an interview, which was pretty cool. And then, interview went really well. I had really good vibes about it. They scheduled a follow-up call. And then from there, about a month later, got an offer. And then all throughout the summer, it was just kind of figuring out, how I could actually make it happen to get out here, because it was a big thing. I had to get a work visa to be able to work in another country, and then just figuring out a place to live and flights out here, which, booking the flight out here was, that was a little bit of a hassle just because, I'm flying halfway across the world. But, once that was all ironed out, just got here in mid-October and have just been getting used to life out in Australia, living in another country halfway across the world. And it's been really good so far. I'm really excited about, this opportunity and what's to come.
Well, it's interesting. You mentioned that, you initially, got interested in this opportunity right before COVID, and, COVID did, obviously the U.S. had so many cases that, I know different people who had opportunities in sports who, overseas, who just couldn't get into other countries. A guy I know, had an opportunity to play baseball professionally in Germany, but just couldn't get in because, obviously foreign countries, weren't letting in U.S. citizens because, we had so many cases, like I said. But, I'm curious also, with the guys playing in Australia, when it comes to independent baseball, there are some leagues that have guys who are, former big leaguers. And then there are other independent leagues that, here in the U.S. that have guys who have never had an opportunity in professional baseball at any level. And this is their first shot. For the guys in Australia, what's their background? Are they guys right out of college? Are they guys who, have played pro in the U.S. at some level? I mean, what type of, players are there?
Yeah, it's a wide range of where guys have come from, different nationalities. Starting with the Australian guys, I'd say about half our roster in Melbourne is local guys. So guys from the Melbourne area or, neighboring cities and towns in the area of Australia I'm in. So a lot of them are local. However, we have, most of those guys actually play minor league ball in the United States. So a lot of them are with affiliated organizations, and 8 of the guys that we have from Australia and the Melbourne area on the team actually play for the Australian national team as well. So a lot of the guys play minor league ball, even though they're from Australia. But then there's also some local guys here in the Melbourne area that, you know, aren't affiliated with MLB organizations, and they've just played local club ball in Australia, or they've played some independent ball, or they've played in this Australian baseball league as the extent of their pro experience. And then I'd say the other half of our roster is what they call out here imports. So most of the guys are from the United States. We've got three Canadians. There's going to be two Japanese pitchers that are going to come and join our team at some point. Yeah, a mix of guys that have played, you know, career minor leaguers, guys that have gotten up to AAA, guys that play indie ball, guys that have only played indie ball. And then there's a handful of guys on our roster that have big league time, you know, ranging from just a couple games in the big leagues to almost 10 years in the big leagues. So it's an insane, you know, difference in, you know, where guys have are coming from based on, you know, both where they're born and raised and also, you know, the level of experience they've had. So it's pretty cool to see all these guys come together. And you know, what other time are you going to see this many guys from all these different areas come together than winter ball? So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's interesting, you know, how that works. I mean, you know, I've done a lot in, I've done sports broadcasting at various levels, you know, college, pro, whatever, but, you know, I've done some stuff in recent years in arena football, and it's kind of similar to what you talked about, how, you know, all these guys playing baseball in Australia have such different backgrounds. Like, you know, when I've worked with the Massachusetts Pirates of the Indoor Football League, you know, they have guys who were, you know, established NFL players and then stepped away from the game, who have come out of retirement to play. They have guys just out of college getting their first opportunity, you know, in pro football. It's kind of a mix, and it's really interesting, you know, when you see all these guys, you know, coming together and playing, you know, with the various backgrounds. But you also have some questions about kind of your career as a whole. But the final question about, you know, your time in Australia. So, you know, obviously you're there for the opportunity, but you know, was part of the appeal for you also getting to, you know, spend time in a foreign country and kind of have that experience under your belt, the same way like lots of kids in school, you know, will do like a semester abroad in college and be like, you know, that experience opened my eyes. You know, it was such a cool experience. I grew from that. Was part of the appeal for you to not only, you know, get broadcasting reps, but get to spend time in a foreign country? And, you know, when you're not broadcasting, what types of things do you get to do, you know, in your free time, you know, while you're overseas?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I think I was even a little more excited just to explore another country and you know, get like a vacation / work experience out here. More so even than calling the games. But I'm honestly, the initial draw was to, you know, get some more reps calling baseball games. You know, I lost a couple of years of being able to call pro baseball games during COVID. So, you know, this is my way of getting some of those reps back. And, you know, the opportunity to do it internationally and broadcast to an international audience is going to be pretty sweet. Our season starts, the regular season starts a couple of days from now, and then goes to the end of January, potentially early February, depending on playoffs. But yeah, I mean, initially I was, you know, the way I looked at it was like chance to call baseball games and live in Australia for 4 months. So pretty sweet. And yeah, like you mentioned with a study abroad type of experience, that's the way I'm looking at this. And, you know, I'm out living in another country, but instead of going to class and studying at a foreign university, I'm working in a foreign country and calling baseball games. Like that's my study part of it. So yeah, I mean, I'm honestly, you know, I've been out here a little less than a month now. You know, I've seen a lot, but there's still so much more to see. But yeah, you know, the initial thought was like, wow, I'm going to get to explore another country, and the broadcast reps kind of were second, but it's awesome how they, you know, they blend together. And then, you know, since I've been out here, the city of Melbourne is really cool. I mean, it's one of, you know, it's one of the most livable cities in the world. And, you know, that's me like having experienced that already for a few weeks, but it's also, you know, you look in Forbes magazine or some of these websites online, they rank it pretty high in terms of most livable cities. It's got a very American feel to it. You know, like I'm in the city and sometimes I don't feel like I'm in another country. It looks like, you know, like New York or Chicago. It's got, you know, vibes like that, even Boston, you know, some similarities. But, you know, since I've been out here, I've gotten a chance to go to the beach. You know, once, you know, the weather's just starting to get really warm out here. So went to the beach one day, been in and out of the city a few times, you know, to and from the ballpark a lot. And, you know, I've got a running list of things that I want to do while I'm out here, and I already feel like I'm running out of time. But you know, the hope is to check off as much as I can.
Okay, but you're not gonna become one of those like perma vacationers where you're just like, this is so cool, you know. Sorry to my family and friends in the U.S. You know, it was nice knowing you. You know, Aussie Mike is here to stay. It's still having a good time, but it's, from what I understand, still kind of a temporary thing.
Yeah. So the plan is, you know, to be out here and then for essentially, you know, 4 months, 4.5 months, depending on, you know, how late our season goes. And then, yeah, I mean, so I'll probably be here in Australia until the end of February, probably, because once our season ends, I've told myself, you know, once in a lifetime opportunity to be out here in Australia in the situation that I'm in, I got to explore some more of the country. So once our season ends, and I have some more downtime, I'll probably take a few weeks and try to explore more of the country and just see what else is out there. But yeah, the plan is to return to the United States sooner than later. But yeah, I'm going to enjoy as much as I can while I'm out here.
Absolutely. You know, as far as your career as a whole goes, you know, you've done a lot specifically in baseball. Yeah. And, you know, also some other sports. But, you know, I mentioned, you know, stuff you did in the Pittsburgh Pirates organization. I saw also you did some stuff last summer with the Aberdeen Ironbirds of the Orioles system. It's funny. I grew up in Maryland, and one of my friends played for the Ironbirds. He was an undrafted free agent. He never actually got a chance to play in the show, but played in the Orioles system for a little bit. That was one of the teams he was on. So I've actually been to some games like way back in the day. But, you know, is kind of your long-term goal, you know, to call games in the show, or are you open to really any pro sport?
Yeah, I mean, definitely open to any reps that I can get at a high level. But really my dream job since I was probably since I was in middle school has been to call games in the big leagues, whether it's for a team specifically or for a network, you know, TV, radio, whatever it is, you know, the ultimate goal is to call games in the big leagues. And yeah, I mean, I've, you know, it's not easy. I mean, there's 30 TV and 30 radio play-by-play jobs in the big leagues, you know, that's 60 jobs right there. And there's millions, you know, of people out there that dream of doing it. So, you know, the odds are against me, but I think the biggest thing for me is I've learned over the years to just kind of have fun with it and, you know, enjoy each step of the journey and not really worry about what's next, just worry about where I'm at right now. But yeah, I mean, you know, that's what keeps me going. I want to get to the big leagues, and you know, I know it's not a linear path like it is for players, where it's single A, double A, triple A, big leagues. You know, it doesn't work that way for broadcasters, but you know, really doing everything I can to have fun and you know, and enjoy and live in the moment, but also knowing, you know, what my ultimate goals are and keeping those in mind.
Definitely. That's interesting. I mean, you know, you talk about like the odds, and that's kind of why, a big part of why I wanted to be a broadcaster is because, and this might sound strange to some people, but because of how competitive it is and how low the odds are of making it all the way. Like, I could never, you know, I feel as though anyone can get a job in the corporate world and make money. I mean, and maybe not anyone, but the odds of getting a corporate job and having a comfortable lifestyle, you're not beating the odds. Yeah, it's comfortable, yeah. But that, you know, I always wanted to do something that was viewed as unrealistic by other people. And you know, whether you're a broadcaster, whether you play sports in the pros, whether you're a movie star, politician, whatever, you know, I was always attracted, and I'm not saying I was planning on running for president, but I was always attracted to, you know, doing something really competitive and, you know, again, doing something that other people thought just wasn't realistic. And that's what's appealing to me about broadcasting. Although it's interesting for you, you said going all the way back to middle school, you specifically wanted to call baseball games because, you know, for me, you know, I played baseball in college, you know, and I have called baseball games at various levels, but, you know, I've also done podcasting. I've done other sports. I've done sideline reporting, PA announcing. I'm just kind of like a utility guy, but you know, what was it about baseball specifically? I mean, did you play a lot of baseball back in the day, or what was it that made you so early on specifically want to be a baseball play-by-play guy?
Yeah, I mean, baseball's always been my favorite sport. It's been baseball and then everything else below it. You know, it's just something about it. You know, I grew up playing the game, you know, from T-ball on, you know, playing through high school ball. And then even when I was in college, I played summer leagues back home. And then there's a few years where I was working in baseball pretty steadily and didn't have a chance to keep playing. But once COVID hit in 2020, you know, I was living back home in the Philly area, and there wasn't much going on. You know, the minor league baseball season didn't happen, so I had a lot of free time. So I ended up joining a league back home, an adult rec league. And the last three summers I played. So just staying connected with the game and still in my 20s being able to play is pretty awesome. And I've just always been like everything about baseball has always interested me. It's not just playing. It's not just broadcasting. Like, I love watching it. I love talking about it. I love fantasy baseball and stats and playing MLB The Show. I mean, anything baseball related, I like it. You know, baseball movies, baseball, you know, listening on the radio, TV, whatever it is. But yeah, I mean, I grew up in a baseball family. Both my dad and mom are huge baseball fans. And, you know, not a lot of families, you know, you don't get that from both parents. It's either one or the other. And, you know, it's not always baseball. It's football, basketball, or something else. But both my parents are huge baseball fans. My brother's a big baseball fan. You know, my main friend group growing up, a lot of just big baseball fans. So the game was always around me, whether it was playing, you know, talking about it with my friends and family, getting into broadcasting. I've just always wanted to be involved in the game some way. And also playing, you know, throughout my playing days, the main position I've played is catcher. And because of playing catcher for so many years, I feel like I've learned the game at a higher level, and I see the game differently than most people, because you hear all the time catchers make the best managers, or catchers see the game differently. It's true. I mean, I've lived it. You know, you just see things differently from that position. And yeah, I mean, I just love everything about the game, and it's always been baseball first, and it's always going to be that way.
No question. Yeah. I mean, I before you said that, you know, that came to mind, you know, to talk about like catchers or managers. And I've heard, you know, also a lot of backup catchers make good managers because they have that catcher mentality, but they're also on, you know, the bench, you know, around the staff, unless they're, you know, catching the bullpen. But I think also, you know, with baseball, it's important to grow up around it. You know, you talked about how your family and your friend group and everyone liked it, and it was just kind of a part of your lifestyle. And also relatable for me, you know, my dad, you know, worked all the time, and so we didn't get to spend a ton of time together when I was growing up, but you know, he did coach my little league team, and like, I didn't get to see him a ton, but you know, when I did get to see him, you know, he'd be coaching my little league team, or you know, I grew up in Maryland, so we'd go to Orioles games. And so that was kind of a way I bonded with my dad growing up. You know, he was a busy guy, like I said, working a lot. So I think definitely when you grow up around the sport, it becomes ingrained in you and you get a feel for the game. And I think, you know, a lot of the people who say that baseball is boring, they don't understand it, you know. And I think growing up around the game, you get that feel for it, and you pick up on the parts of the game that are interesting. And, you know, maybe to the naked eye, people who just don't get it, don't get it. But I think that's one way you really develop a passion for, you know, baseball. Or, I mean, really, that's how you develop a passion for anything, you know, is I think growing up around it and getting a feel for it. But, you know, also, I don't know, this might be controversial. You might have to say no comment on this because you're open to any opportunity. But like, if you could call big league games for any organization, and again, I don't want to get you in trouble with the Orioles or anyone else you might be working with, but if you could call games in the show for any team in any ballpark, whether it was Yankee Stadium or Fenway Park or Dodger Stadium or any of these, you know, famous stadiums for, you know, famous teams, if you could take any job you wanted, what would it be?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've thought about it a lot. I think about it on the regular of, you know, someday, if I'm calling games in the big leagues, you know, like what that experience would be like. And, you know, a lot of people dream, at least as players, you know, you want to play for your hometown team, you know, in the big leagues. For me, I guess I'm from the Philly area, you know, grown up a Phillies fan. I've never really like been dead set on like, you know, hey, one day I want to call Phillies games, like just because it's my hometown team. Although it would be pretty cool, you know, just with all the traveling I've done in my life, you know, always going back to Philly at some point, you know, that city's special to me. So it'd be cool to, you know, call games for the Phillies someday with that hometown connection. But, you know, I've always, I'm a big beach guy. I'm a warm weather guy. I don't like the cold. You know, that's part of the reason why I'm out here in Australia. It's about to be summer out here when it's winter back home. You know, if I had a chance to work for a team in California or Florida or Arizona, somewhere in warm weather or near a beach would be pretty sweet. I've never been to San Diego, but I've always said that like it'd be pretty sweet to call games for the Padres and live in that city. But yeah, I guess there's not one specifically. But yeah, I've thought about a few different ones. And then of course, you know, my current job, you know, I work for the Aberdeen Ironbirds, the Orioles High A affiliate. Camden Yards is actually my favorite ballpark in the major leagues. And, you know, that's not just me saying it because I work for an Orioles affiliate. It's been my favorite ballpark for a lot of years. So, you know, someday if I can get up there with the team, with the organization that I'm with right now, that would also be really cool.
Huh. So that was always your favorite ballpark even before you got involved with them. So you're not going to like, you know, clip off, you know, you saying that and send it to the Orioles and being like, call me up. Where's my raise? Whatever. You know, that was always, I mean, like I said, I grew up in Maryland. I went to Camden Yards a lot back in the day. They've done a lot better during my adult years. When I was going to games as a kid, they struggled a little bit. They went through a tough stretch. They've, you know, I moved out of Baltimore right when they were getting good. I missed the good years, but Camden Yards is a good time. No question about it.
Yeah, something about that stadium. I just like the vibes there, the views. Mm-hmm. It's just a really, really good ballpark to watch a game at.
They have good seafood as well. And Baltimore is known for their seafood. But back in the day, their shortstop, Miguel Tejada, would have his wife get him ballpark seafood during the game and bring it down to the dugout, which, like, I don't know of any pro athlete eating concessions from a stadium during a game besides him. But I guess that's how good their seafood was. So
that's wild.
Yeah. And I mean, I also, you know, lots of times, you know, you may have dealt with this, like play-by-play guys, you'll meet someone, you'd be like, I call games, and they ask you, oh, can you give us a call? I hate that. Like when I've told people, you know, I do live games, they're like, give us a call. But it's like, for me, I have to be in the moment at the game and excited about the game to do it. I can't do it on the spot. And like, I remember when I first got out of college, you know, I was briefly a part-time Uber driver. And I remember telling this passenger, oh yeah, like I'm trying to get into sports broadcasting. And they're like, give me a call. And like, I'm not in the moment, I'm driving my car. So I was like, home run. And they're like, you suck. Yeah. How are you going to do this professionally? But, you know, again, so I won't, maybe you've done interviews where they've asked you to give them a call. I won't put you on the spot like that. But, you know, before we wrap up, you know, what should sports fans know about you, you know, as far as, you know, maybe fans of future big league teams you might call games for, you know, who are you and what do you want your kind of reputation and legacy to be as a broadcaster? And I don't mean legacy as in like you're going to die soon. I think you have many years ahead of you, but, you know, what do you want people to know about you?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, like, you know, I do this because it's fun. You know, I don't, like, you don't work in sports broadcasting, at least at the early stages, for the money, or because you want to have a good work-life balance. I mean, you know as well as anybody, the long hours, you know, weekends, holidays, you know, the pay is not great. You know, you're scrapping, working other jobs on the side or in the off seasons to kind of get it done, moving around a lot. So like the lifestyle is hard, but you know, what drives me is how much fun it is. Like I genuinely have so much fun every time I'm on air. I get to go to baseball stadiums and, you know, I do some college sports stuff as well. So I get to go to stadiums and arenas and ballparks, you know, for work, and I get paid to do it. You know, I do it because it's fun. I do it because there's fulfillment. You know, I never wanted a real job. You know, that's why I'm in broadcasting. You know, I wanted to wake up every day and have fun. And like, I wanted to enjoy what I was doing for an occupation. But yeah, I mean, I've got a very relaxed conversational broadcast style. I like to have fun in the booth. I like to make jokes. You know, I like to, I like to just interact with the players and, you know, talk about life, talk about, you know, baseball and, you know, bring up fun stuff on the broadcast, you know, do fun segments. With the teams that I work for, I usually have a different hashtag and a nickname for it. You know, everywhere I go, like out here in Australia, I'm hashtag Aussie Mike. You know, with the Ironbirds, I'm hashtag Iron Mike. You know, I brand myself, you know, that way. And I like to have fun. You know, I'll call a game with my hat backwards and my sunglasses on, you know, wearing flip flops in the booth, you know, like that's my style. I'm very laid back. I just love the game. And, but I work hard, you know, like it's fun. And you know, sometimes it doesn't feel like work, but I do work, you know, there's a lot of work that goes in, but yeah, that's the biggest thing for me. It's like, I have fun with it. I enjoy it. And I want to share my experiences with, you know, my friends and family back home. And, you know, I never miss an opportunity to remember my roots and the people and the places that got me to where I am and where I continue to go. So, you know, I tell myself, I kind of repeat this phrase to myself every day. I'm grateful, I'm confident, and I'm proud of myself. You know, it kind of keeps me going. It keeps me level. And, you know, it helps me realize that, you know, every day is a new opportunity to have fun and, you know, just kind of keep going with something that I've wanted to do ever since I was in elementary school. So it's pretty cool to, you know, at 27, be doing what I wanted to do when I was 10, 11 years old.
No, absolutely. And you also talk about what a grind the lifestyle is, but like, I take pride in that. Like I take pride in my ability to struggle and eat shit and survive, you know what I mean? Like, and do that for something you're passionate about. Cause I think in life, that's important, whether it's, you know, being a sports broadcaster, raising a family, whatever. I mean, deal with the ups and downs and the struggles and sacrifice for things you care about. I think that's what life is all about. So, you know, a lot of things you said are very relatable. But once again, everyone, that was Michael Mercantonini coming to a big league stadium near you. But once again, everyone, thank you for tuning in.